Yesterday, I had the occasion to be out driving in the countryside, which is always a great joy this time of year in particular. And as I was driving along, I turned a corner and met a tractor with a wagon full of large bales of hay. And instead of it being a road hazard, of course, for me, I kind of just paused and opened, the window was open, and all I could smell was that wonderful smell of fresh cut hay and baled, and you know that smell, it's very distinct. And in that moment, I was taken back to when I was a child. I grew up on a farm in Western Quebec, and so I spent my entire summer, of course, throwing around hay bales. Just because I was a girl, that made no difference on our farm. And so I would spend all sorts of hours lifting the hay off onto the wagon and then riding. I remember riding on the top of the wagon in the driveway and having the leaves of the tree hit the wagon as we went by and then loading it into the elevator and up to the roof of the barn there. Loft, that's the word, loft. Anyhow, that all happened in that one split instance. And it's very clear there's lots of hay this year because of the lovely weather and, of course, the rain, which is helping it to grow in between season. And it occurred to me that isn't that fabulous? A great year, lots of hay, lots of hundredfold returns for the farmers. And in our lives, there are times when that is the case. We have a hundredfold return and even more of what has been sown in us and what we have sown in our own lives. But this parable this morning, although Jesus talks about it as one person, you know, doesn't land in the person that's hard of heart and so on, I actually think it refers to every one of our lives, and we have every one of those places. Every one of us has a path, some ground that is beaten down in our lives. Things we have done, repeated, said, lived over and over again. We have a path. We have something that it's either a thought we have, or a way of being, or a habit, you might call it, or just part of our personality that we don't stray from it. We know it very well. And it is hard to change that path. It is hard for a fresh seed, a new word to grow in that path because we've worked hard at beating it down. It's sort of like the aisle in the church. You know, we don't have carpet in St. John's anymore, and I think there's probably a reason for that. It was probably beaten down, don't you think? Worn out. All those footsteps over all those years walking on that carpet. So we know what that's like. And we each have that in our lives. It doesn't mean that we don't want good news. It means that that part of our lives is solid, and there are some things that just don't grow there. We also have the other part. There are four altogether, and that's the rocky ground. You know what it's like when you're out walking and you get a stone in your shoe. Irritating, isn't it? And can be quite painful and can grow to be a blister or a sore. Well, the thing about rocky ground is it's not just that. Those are the times when something happens to us that is painful, indeed. There's something that we may have seen coming and something we may not. And all of us have rocky ground, places that are sharp and pointy and not easy to walk through. And in those places, when a seed lands, it's actually kind of interesting. Because always when you see rocky ground, whether it be up in the mountains or by the river, you'll see a little plant, won't you, from time to time? A little seed has found a spot in the rocky ground and has taken hold there. If it's a good year and there's rain and not scorching sun, that seed might grow a little bit and become a little plant. But sure as anything, if you go back the next spring, it will be gone. Because the rocky ground doesn't have enough to hold that new thing. But it is a seed of hope. And in our rocky ground of our lives, often a seed falls, takes bloom. It may not grow to full maturity, but it gives us a sign of hope. And that may be all we need to cross that rocky path. And then, of course, there's a place with the thistles and the weeds. And yesterday, it's very clear when you're looking at farms that they try to keep those out, right? Lots of things we do to try and keep the weeds out. Fences, pesticides, anything we can do to make sure the weeds don't grow. My father had the perfect lawn And when we moved to town, the absolutely perfect lawn. Because every day, in the evening, after dinner, he would take out his pocket knife and cut out every dandelion. Every night. He didn't use pesticides. He took out his knife, and it was kind of his post-dinner exercise. When my father died, we found in the garage, this is a segue, completely irrelevant, but I thought you'd like to hear it. We found in the garage this instrument. It was a long piece of metal, hard, and it had kind of some duct tape wrapped on one end and sort of a pointy thing like had been an old fork on the other end. My brother found it and said, "What do you think this is?" And I said, "Well, I have no idea." My father was always coming up with little inventions. So we asked my other brother, no idea. Took it to my mother and she said, "In the last year of his life, your father couldn't bend over because he'd get faint. So he made this so he could get the dandelions out after dinner." We try to get the thistles out. My father was determined not to have dandelions in his lawn. They were okay in the backfield, but not in his lawn. And we're like that. We want to not have all those weeds that choke the good news that lands for us. But the thistles are equally blown by the wind, as are the seeds sometimes. And we don't always know where the thistles come from, and all of a sudden, we think we're doing great, and we turn and look, and there's a whole friggin' patch of thistles right over there. Thought we were doing okay, but there they are. And so there are thistles in our lives as well. And then there's the good soil, the place that isn't a path, isn't rocky, isn't thistles. It's the place that we have tended our passions, our desires, the place where we land and feel at home, the place where we are blessed. And that can be sometimes in our lives a very small little patch that we desperately hang on to. And sometimes it's the size of a small garden, and sometimes it's as big as an acre, and sometimes it is 100-fold. But even when that ground and that harvest is there, the thistles haven't gone. Neither has the rocky path, rocky ground, or the path. We have all of them at all times in our life. Individually, as a parish, as a community, as a city, as a world. And we're reminded of that daily. When you hear the news, you hear of a place in the world where there are lots of thistles and there is a lot of choking going on. You hear of places that have a path, and they're clear and strong, and there's not going to be much new happening there, but they know what they're doing. And there are places that are rocky and pointy and hard, and there are places where there is much growth and life and renewal. And so whenever you look at a farmer's field, when you happen to be in the country, or your next-door neighbor's lot, and think about all the weeds that they have next door, or your own garden, remember that you're not just looking at those things, you're looking at your life. You're looking at your heart, and you're looking at your soul. And the sower is there. That's the great news for us, is God is always there sowing new seeds. We sometimes give up when we got the path figured out, when we've got the rocks and we're treading through them, when the thistles are choking us, we don't often see God. We think, there's the blooming side, there's the wonderful side, there's God. No, God is in all of those, still sowing, still hoping, still loving us, and always there to sow new life in you and in the lives that you touch. Amen.